Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here, and welcome everyone. Good morning. I know it's early, but we'll entertain you and hopefully help wake you up. Hollywood Health and Society is a program of the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism, and we're housed in the Norman Lear Center. We've been around for almost 10 years, and we started as a project of the CDC and grew into a full-blown program with funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the California Endowment, the Barr Foundation in Boston, and about five other government funding streams. Anyone can make the simple complicated, but creativity is making the complicated simple. And that is really the essence of the Hollywood Health and Society model. We actually serve as a bridge between the entertainment industry and the public health community. And we work with writers and producers. We have a partnership with the Writers Guild of America West. And we don't tell writers what story to write. We really work on a model of inspiring and informing. It's very simple. Imagine if you had somebody at your side, literally 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, who is simply there to inspire you. Somebody who knew what your agenda was, what your goals were, and provided systematic and sustained outreach to you on those topics. And imagine if you had somebody who was bringing you real stories of real people and case studies in your area of interest, day in and day out, just to give you ideas for your work. Well, that's how we work with writers and producers. We do all forms of outreach to the creative community in Hollywood, and actually in different industries around the world. We take experts, like many of you in this room, right into the writers' rooms. So if you think of a show like Grey's Anatomy or House, they have huge writing teams. And we go in there on a regular basis. They call us 7 days a week. We go in about once a week with experts, and we sit around the table with them and basically tell them health stories. This inspires them to write about these topics. We also do things like panel discussions at the Writers Guild, where we'll bring panels of experts together to talk with writers and producers. And most recently, I took a group of writers and producers overseas. In May, we went to South Africa and to India to give them direct experience of global health in a local context. And it was life-changing for these writers and producers, many of whom had never experienced anything like huge public hospitals or programs that rescue children from sex slavery. And they're all writing about what they learned. To give you an example, as Peggy said, in 2010, in the span of 12 months, we confirmed 163 air dates for storylines, health storylines, we consulted on. And we did that by doing over 400 briefings and consultations during that year with the writers, with 38 different shows across 16 networks. Let's look at an example. Many of you know Dr. Atul Gawande. He's a Harvard-trained surgeon, a full-time staff writer with the New Yorker. And he came to LA to serve as my expert with the writers of the show ER. And he works with the World Health Organization on the surgical safety checklist. But when he started the briefing, he didn't start talking about the checklist. The writers had no idea who was going to introduce this checklist. He started with a story. And he picked a story from the literature. It was a story about a little girl, 3 years old, out with her parents in Austria on a walk on a winter's day. And the little girl disappeared. And the parents frantically tried to find her. And they discovered that she had fallen through the ice and drowned. They took her body, they tried CPR, they could not revive her. They wrapped her in a coat, they ran to the local mountain clinic. And the story goes on to what actions the clinic staff took, how they got her to a hospital, how they medevaced her to another hospital, everything everybody did. By the time she got real treatment, she had been dead for an hour and a half. That little girl is a healthy 8-year-old today. And Dr. Gawande used this story to illustrate what happens when medicine goes right. This sounds like a miracle, but it's published in the literature as a case. That's when he introduced the surgical checklist. It's a simple piece of paper. It takes about 2 minutes to use, and it can reduce complications due to surgery by half. So let's take a look at a clip of ER to see what resulted from that consultation. Okay, this will take a minute to load. This was one of the last episodes of ER last year, right before it went off the air, the third to last one. Can we turn it up?
I remember being asked when Dr. Bennett described it as medicine. When the patient, he asked if I was concerned. But remember, let's do this.
Well, what about the checklist?
Excuse me?
Say surgery checklist?
I've had 10 cases to pay that.
All the more reason to take the necessary precautions.
It only took a minute.
1 minute.
John McConaughey here for a right cadaveric renal allograft.
Does the patient have a known allergy? Does anesthesia anticipate a difficulty already?
No.
Is the risk of bleeding greater than 500 cc's?
I sure as hell hope not. Let's go put him on dirt.
Whoa, everybody slow down. Now let's just take that time and introduce them.
What's that? We all hold hands and sing Kumbaya?
Sheila Lang, Scrubner's.
Paul Cheney, for doing this.
Dave Schumacher, anesthesiologist.
I am the local in chief surgical resident. Ethan Dean, surgical intern.
Peter Benton, observing general surgeon. Any concerns from the surgical team?
I'm a bit wasting my time.
Any nursing concerns?
We don't have any microfusion solution.
We won't be needing it.
I'll have one set up.
Were any antibiotics given in the last 60 minutes?
Just starting now.
Ted Blake.
If you run the antibiotics prior to incision, you cut the risk of infection by half.
Dr. Benton, you're a guest here, and I don't like guests. As a friend of the patient, you're welcome to sit, observe, and shut up.
It's great. The morning after this episode aired, 150 surgeons gathered at a major hospital in New York City, which shall remain nameless, and the head surgeon forced the entire team to watch the hour-long episode of ER. And at the end, they discussed the surgical checklist and agreed to adopt it for their orthopedics practice. 3 days later, the country of France contacted us and told us that they were having their annual stakeholders meeting on surgical safety for the country and asked for a clip of ER. So we end up having life imitating art. So there were significant knowledge gains as a result of this little clip, but we're really interested in behavior change. So I'm going to show you a 30-second clip and then some data on an episode of Numbers. This is on organ transplantation. You'll see a lot of social modeling in this clip about how to sign up to become an organ donor.
Okay,
So we actually analyzed four data sets because we had organ transplantation storylines on Numbers, CSI New York, House, and Grey's Anatomy. There were significant knowledge gains on all four of these episodes, but if you look at the bottom half of this chart and the red circle, on the Numbers episode that I just showed you, 10% of viewers actually signed up to become organ donors. So we had significant behavior change as a result of this TV show. Creativity takes courage. There's a lot of courage on this panel, so I'm going to stop there and listen to our co-panelists, and we'll continue the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandra. That was terrific.